Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way.
America, are you serious? It is showtime, baby. Here we go.
Showtime, baby. Here we go at Cal Chelsea Yellow Jackets versus the Valley View Tigers here live in majestic Yellow Jacket Stadium. And the ball is off in the air. Receiving the ball appears to be number 26, Felix Garcia. Has some room to run. Only one guy to beat to the 40. Oh, he trips up crossing the 50-yard line.
Wow. That's the definition of a shoestring tackle.
Wow. Appeared to be the kicker there, making the tackle a shoestring tackle, no doubt.
Maybe a literal shoestring tackle.
If he doesn't make that tackle, Felix Garcia is taking the ball to the house for close to an 80-yard return.
Almost a disastrous return in the eyes of Valley View. That would have been something else. Jackets coming out in the spread right off the bat. Kind of surprising here. Empty backfield. This is kind of a surprise.
The open. Dina dropping back to pass. Has a lot of time. Throws it deep for number 12, and that's going to be picked off. Oh man, that should have been an interception there.
A sure interception dropped, and those are, the plays you kind of have to make if you want to have any chance of your Valley View.
Well, we know that, of course, we saw, thinking back to that West Loco East game, the pass that flew nearly 50 yards in the air from the end zone on the run. So
amazing,
we know that Nino has a pretty strong arm there. It's going to be about a 35-yard pass, but it was clearly underthrown. He didn't have enough juice underneath or behind it, and it was nearly intercepted there. But instead, it falls incomplete. Second and 10 here at the 49-yard line in Valley View territory. Hand off to Roger Garcia. Has some room to run. Splits one defender. Picks up about 4 yards.
Jackets back in that slot, which is kind of we expected early in the game.
Now, that was pretty interesting there, the fact that they started with a open set. Basically, that means five receivers, no running backs in the backfield, just the quarterback out there in a shotgun formation.
Yeah, and that's nice formation, but quarterback always very vulnerable in an empty backfield kind of set. And they come out in the spread again on third down, which is typical for them on a third and long.
It'll be a third and close to about 6 yards from the 45-yard line. The snap. Nino back to throw. Has Cisneros open, and he cannot hang on. Wow. That ball was right in his hands. It's an automatic first down if he holds on. And he just, you know what? This is just a classic mistake of him already thinking upfield. If he makes that catch, I think
he
breaks.
Zone, yeah.
He had a guy that was in the safety was in bad position. Turn around, I think he would have taken it 45 yards for a touchdown. But once again, just thinking ahead, not making the catch.
Right. Kind of a somewhat surprising start. They appear to be punting, which is kind of surprising, but perhaps it's a fake. We'll see.
Well, you know, it's first quarter, 10 minutes and 52 seconds remaining. There is absolutely no reason to give anyone, especially the Valley View Tigers, any momentum here. So Solis opting to punt the ball. And, of course, Miguel Garcia, a pretty good punter, just booms it. And a fair catch called by Valley View.
And made at about the 14-yard line. Well, you have to figure Valley View may be happy with that. You have to figure three and out on this high-powered Elsa offense.
Well, the punt will officially be marked off as a 31-yard punt after the fair catch by Valley View.
It'll be first and 10. We'll see what the Tigers can muster on this first drive. They are an I formation team, but they appear to be coming out in a spread formation. Trips right, I believe. Kind of a surprise.
Is that the pistol formation?
I believe it is. That's correct. Excuse me. It is a pistol formation.
Pistol meaning that the quarterback, instead of being a 5-yard.
And that'll be throwing on first down. This is a kind of something of a surprise. Evans going against Tennessee, but again, in a game like this, to have any kind of chance, I guess what you got to do, I guess.
Wide receiver screen, could you call that? I mean,
sure.
A wide receiver hitch.
Known as a smoke in the business, kind of just a snap, catch, and a quick toss to the sideline, to the boundary.
And just to quickly explain what the pistol is, quarterback usually 3 to 4 yards as opposed to the 5 yards. and with the running back directly behind him.
And they are staying that way.
And that they, the reason I think they do that is to so that you won't key off the defense as far as what a strong side is, right?
Correct. We'll talk about it right now after this play. Anyway, first down by Valley View. Correct. It is to get the benefits of the passing game, which is kind of off the line to get a, to drop back quicker. But you still get the power running with the running back directly behind the quarterback as opposed to the regular shotgun where he's to the side. It's a lateral handoff. It's just more like a tradition. It's almost like an ISO traditional straight back power running downhill by the running back.
Well, the Valley View Tigers with a handoff pick up about 4 yards, and that's good enough for the first down, first and 10 from the 26-yard line. Pretty surprising here that they were able to pick up that first down with relative ease. Pass, roll to the left, decides to keep it and runs upfield and picks up some positive yards. Big old number 53, Paul Gomez there, the play in the end position, unable to keep contained as the quarterback slips around him and gains close to about 6 yards. It'll be second and 4 from the 32-yard line.
Yeah, smart. I'm impressed with that young man from Valley View's decision. A good decision to keep the ball, and he picked up quite a decent game. Again, they appear to be with this pistol, probably more than likely scripted during practice, as they are putting it into use here. There's some trips to the right side.
And Yellow Jackets in a cover 3. Pretty interesting, being that
with a flag, which I believe will be a face mask, judging by the movement of the quarterback's head. We apologize for our camera. A little blurry. The burglar bar is causing all kind of havoc.
You might need to zoom in past the burglar bars.
I believe I will try that. And it is effective.
Well, it doesn't really matter. They don't really see a clear picture at home anyways. This is a low-budget operation.
Oh, I believe it was holding. It's kind of a surprise. It looked like a face mask, but I guess not. We're way up here, so not easy to see that. It appears to be holding. It appears to be
just to clarify on the play, it was an option to the right. Quarterback met with the stiff presence of the end. That's exactly what the end is supposed to do. He's supposed to attack that quarterback and make him pitch the ball, but quarterback decided to keep it. And in the process, it was a holding by either the right or right tackle or right guard. Nonetheless, pushes the Tigers back second and about 15 from the 22-yard line.
Yeah, that was pretty much a drive killer, right? That holding penalty. They could not afford that.
Well, and the Jackets again with another opportunity here to pretty much put 7 points on the board. Quick pass by the Valley View quarterback. Number 33, Charlie Garcia, stepping up there, cutting the lane off, and the ball just kind of bouncing out of his hands and dropping right in front of him. Easy 6 points if he holds on to that, and he'll prance 20 yards into the end zone. But unfortunately, instead, it stands as an incomplete pass. Third and 15.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
You don't mind
anybody here? Hey, you wanna meet on that side over there? Por favor. Thank you. No, hey,
a little interruption there. Third down, they stopped them. About third and, it'll be fourth and 8 now, and we do expect a punt.
Well, the third down play, picking up close to about 6 yards, 7 yards, and still not enough, as like Doc said right now, it will be a punt for the Valley View Tigers. The Jackets will look to get their second opportunity here to put some points on the board with 8 minutes remaining in the first quarter. The snap, the punt, nearly blocked. Deep back to receive, Roger Garcia. He's going to pick it up, and he's going to be hit hard by 3 Valley View defenders. You have to question that decision there by Roger Garcia to pick that ball up. It was dying there. It wasn't going to go any further back, maybe a couple yards. So it's not like he's trying to stop the punt from you know.
He also took a big unnecessary hit, which takes a toll eventually later.
Yeah, it's a risky play too, because as he got hit his 3 defenders, you know, very easily that ball pops out. There's no Yellow Jackets around to help recover the fumble.
Right. I expect to see the Jackets getting more back to basics here with a run game, I would imagine. And as I say that, they come out of the spread, so shows what I know.
Well, it's first and 10 as Jackets retain possession of the punt, and we have a motion there as, once again, the Jackets in that open set. Another motion, and it's the jet sweep to number 81. Alex Cisneros has some room, breaks one tackle, breaks two, still on his feet and close to the first down marker.
Yeah, Jack is coming out in the spread. You kind of have to wonder if they're using this fairly unfairly as kind of getting working new things in to prepare for the playoffs. You have to wonder that's kind of what they're doing, you know, kind of preparing, looking ahead a little bit, getting working on stuff and getting a game situation.
Well, you know, I hate to bring this up, but like, well, I'll bring it up later. It is indeed a first down, first and 10 from the 41-yard line.
Again, in the spread, they're sticking with the spread, which is a little surprising.
Nino, back to pass, has Tanguma open, and looks like he might have retained possession there. And it does stand as a reception.
About a good 9-yard gain.
Yeah, about 9 yards. It'll be second and one from the 50-yard line.
I do expect to see the slot with a second and one in this situation. Number four, the fullback, may be getting a handoff here as he's become the short yardage go-to man lately.
He does. Justin Garcia with two touchdowns on the season, both of them from about 1-2 yards out. And actually, it's a trap up the middle to number 81, Alex Cisneros, who's got 10, 15, 20-yard gain there.
That's more of the Jackets game there, that slot trap.
23-yard gain officially for Alex Cisneros there, who's been sufficient. He's holding about maybe about a 4-yard average. He only has about 5 carries or so for the season, but definitely a big pickup there. I think he might have matched what he is rushing for the entire season there with his 5 carries.
And after a surprising three and out, the Jackets are moving the ball like we expected to see.
Well, it's a first and 10 now with 6.5 minutes remaining in the first quarter. Not quite in the red zone at the 26-yard line, 27-yard line. Nino with a draw has a receiver leading blocking for him.
Kind of a little playoff on that jet sweep, a little variation there. This time he kept the ball and took it up the middle between the tackles.
And you know, it's just one of those situations. Speaking of which, of course, Eric Nino, I don't know if anyone saw this in the paper today. Eric Nino, of course, named 4A Ford what's built Ford player of the week for amassing 345 yards or something like that against West Galicia.
Wow.
Those were his own yards.
That's a lot of yards.
But, you know, in situations like that, I hate to see Nino take too much of the load.
Oh, a wide open, what was that?
Roger Garcia.
Garcia in the seam. But unable to connect. Very hard pass, and in all fairness, a very hard pass to make. And right in the middle of that seam.
Well, he was indeed wide open, and if he is able to connect there, once again, another 6 points that are on the board for the Jackets. So missed opportunities. So far, the story here in the first 7 minutes of the first quarter. But, of course, here at the 26-yard line, I'm sorry, the 21-yard line, the Jackets are not short of maybe putting some points up here. Well, it's a third and five, and there's that tight formation. Handoff to number four, Justin Garcia.
Appears to have the first down, although we are not down.
It's
going to
be close. It's going to be close.
Regardless, they are in four down territory, so I would expect a...
Well, you know,
They will measure, it appears.
Well, Miguel Garcia, of course, is a kicker who has the leg from where it stands right there at the 16, or close to the 17. It would be 17-27, close to about a 35, 36-yard field goal. I know that that's definitely what is range, but it doesn't matter.
It's a first down.
It is a first down.
So Jack is moving the ball like we expected to see the very first drive. Kind of getting a late start, so to speak, but they seem to be moving the ball well.
First and 10 from the 17-yard line.
Now going back to the more traditional slot set. On a first and 10.
And it's quarterback keeper, Eric Nino. And see, that's exactly what I mean. Now, that wasn't a design play. I think Eric Nino saw something and decided to keep it. And picks up a nice gain, close to about 8 yards. But see, you got to wonder, through the course of a season, how much, how long before those hits start to take a toll.
Hey, well, that's exactly right there, Perry. He had 20 carries, I believe, last week alone against Westlake East, so that's definitely something to take a look at.
Well, it's a second and about two from about the 8-yard line, second and one. in that tight formation, and it's a keep again. And Nino once again close to the end zone. And it's officially ruled a touchdown. Quarterback Eric Nino with a 8-yard carry. 6-0, your score here with 4 minutes and 20 seconds remaining in the first quarter.
Impressive drive. I believe they only had one third down to that whole drive, if I'm not mistaken. So very impressive. This was what we expected to see from the very beginning of the game.
And the Jackets with a swinging gait go ahead and line up for the PAT. Number 9, Miguel Garcia making the attempt. He's been pretty successful throughout the course of the season, so had a little trouble early on as far as making the ball. But that one goes through the uprights, no problem.
It is good. And your score is, with 4:20 remaining in the first quarter, it is the Ed Koch El Soyello Jackets 7 and the Valley View Tigers 0.
Well, I do want to remind those of you tuning in that you are listening to Ed Koch El Soyello Sports Radio. We'll take a quick pause for the cause. Hear a word from our sponsors.
While you enjoy the game, JBR Digital Imaging is hard at work bringing you all the up-close and personal action shots of Ed Koch El Soyello football. Visit eejackets.com/JBR to access JBR Digital's .photo account, which ultimately will allow you to see action shots of tonight's game as well as others. Oh, there he goes again. JBR Digital Imaging, a proud sponsor of Ed Koch El Soyello Sports Radio.
Once again, you are listening to Ed Koch El Soyello Sports Radio. And just a quick reminder, JBR Digital is indeed one of our sponsors. He is hosting a contest. Visit eejackets.com, the main page, to participate in that contest. Up for grabs is a 16 by 20 poster from the Harlingen Cardinal game with a series of pictures and so forth. It's really nice. It's a nice arrangement. It should be framed. Definitely something you might want to win. And, of course, it's a no-purchase contest.
Booming kickoff all the way to the end zone there. And I'm judging by the flag, it might have even been into the wind, so a very impressive kick there.
And there will be, obviously, no return, and the Valley View Tigers will start at the 20-yard line. First and 10.
We'll see if they stick with that pistol, or they'll go back to the more traditional sets. I want to hear your thoughts, Perry. What are your thoughts on the pistol formation?
Well, you know, it's like one of the many things, one of the many trends. You know, a lot of times, whatever's successful, you especially see it in the NFL, whatever's successful, teams are going to emulate it, teams are going to try to copy it. I think that's one of the fads right now, the pistol, and I don't know exactly who runs it or who's the one that started it. I want to say it's one of the college teams.
University of Nevada.
Okay.
Chris Ault, I believe, is the name of the head coach there, and he's the one kind of known as the innovator of that offense.
Yeah, and it's just something that, you know, it's hot for the moment, and once defenses figure out and defensive coordinators figure out how to stop it, well, then it'll be yesterday's news, and it'll be, you know, another fad that will be you know, dominating the offensive units.
Well, Valley View appears to like it because they're sticking with that formation as they head for the second drive.
Well, it's a first and 10 from the 20-yard line, and we appear to have some defensive guys for the Jackets offsides.
Curious to see what the call is. I do not know if the defensive lineman for the Jackets was in the neutral zone. He may have been.
Given the way that the play was stopped, it might be a false start, because normally, I mean, they didn't grossly jump off sides. So, you know, when it's that situation,
it is a false start.
Yeah, they didn't jump off sides. Normally, they'll let the play run through, and the offense will get a free play, but given the way that it was stopped immediately, it's an indication that it's a false start, and there's no play to begin with, no play opportunity.
Right, and I have to say that the Tigers line up in the pistol formation with the trips right.
And, of course, the Tigers now find themselves in a deficit, first and 15 from the 15-yard line. Not a good way to start a drive here in the first quarter. Roll out to pass, 58.
Completed, a nice pass, and a good game by the Tigers.
Number 58, Frank Rodriguez, putting on some pressure there on the quarterback. Takes him down after the pass, but like you said earlier, the pass was completed. It's a fairly decent game there.
Yeah, they're using that roll motion that PI used successfully and East did as well. That kind of, so I guess the coaches of opposing teams have seen something on the film where they feel the rollout is effective.
Is it that waggle where they fake the handoff and then roll out to the opposite side of the handle.
It has been occasionally. That one, to me, I don't really check. It kind of looked like a regular just catch and roll, but I did not really get a good look at it, though.
Now, it certainly puts a lot of pressure on your defensive line to try to make the play. And there we see that rollout again. But this time it looks to be a designed run play. Nope, it was indeed a designed pass play. And I have to wonder whether he was past the line of scrimmage there on that pass.
Big hit, and the quarterback is down. He's up. That's good to see. But in what kind of condition will he be in? And he appears to tough it out. Wow, tough kid, because that was a monstrous hit.
Well, it looked like it was an option. But at the kind of at the last moments there, the quarterback continued to drop back as number 53, Paul Gomez, was putting the pressure. And, of course, quarterback able to roll outside of him, beat him with his speed. He completes a short pass, good enough for the first down, maybe about a six-yard pass. But like you said, takes a punishment there from that completion. 3 minutes and 50 seconds on the game clock as the Tigers have a first and 10 from the 33-yard line. And there's a fumble. And he's down. Oh, and he takes a sharp hit from number 56, John Castillo. But quarterback kneeling to pick up the fumble ball automatically whistled down. And the Tigers, once again, did a decent job of getting out of that first and 15 deficit. Now find themselves in a second down and close to 17 probably.
Yeah, again, they avoided a disastrous turnover, but still, that could be a drive killer.
Yeah, you're not going to win very many games in the season when you have mistakes like that. Second and about 18 from the 27-yard line. Number 10, back to pass. That's going to be, another close interception. This time, Jesse Halomo.
Sketchy decision by the quarterback there. Obviously double covered, and that cover two look. He's lucky that one I picked off.
Yeah, that just, once again, just in and out of the hands, and definitely had an opportunity. It's not like the ball was out of reach. Had an opportunity to take that one down and just unable to.
You know, I don't have the exact stats right now, but I've seen an awful lot of passes kind of going against tendency. I guess maybe trying to catch the Jackets off guard.
Well, you know, I have to say that this game should not be 7-0 right now. It should probably be about 14, maybe even 21, as the Jackets not necessarily making mistakes, but not capitalizing on Valley View mistakes.
I do agree. It could be a lot worse than what it is right now.
Pistol formation. It's the option. Number 10 pitches it. Has a little bit of room, and he's tackled hard.
A flag on the play. Likely be holding, but you have to think the Jackets will decline it and just take the punt.
Yeah, big old 42 there. Tony Sanchez coming from the middle and just putting a pounding there on the option running back. And we'll go ahead and await the penalty flag to see what it is.
I see the punt unit coming off of Valley View, so it's probably clearly against them, and the Jackets will likely decline this penalty. You know, Valley View so far putting on a decent showing. They've gotten a couple of first downs, made one stop on defense, so a decent showing by them. Probably more than was expected so far.
And I do have to agree with you. I think that the defense wasn't quite expecting this sort of game plan from the Valley View Tigers. But for the most part, the Tigers have been shooting themselves, and there just hasn't been an opportunity for them to capitalize. As the punt is nearly blocked by number 50, George Vargas, but it comes off, and we have another mistake there. Another mistake there. You know, that's just an opportunity or a situation where the ball was punted really, really high, and the Valley View Tigers with an opportunity to get underneath it. And you have, it appeared to be number 3, Joseph Garcia, trying to catch that. Now, I'm not sure if he called a fair catch. I think he did call a fair catch, but he muffed the ball. And with three defenders, Valley View Tiger defenders around him, that's not a very smart move to do.
And again, you know, the kicking game,
well, he paid for it too.
Been on and off throughout the season. And you have to think that the coaches are not very happy with that, with teams like in the playoffs looming, like Port Lavaca Calhoun, maybe even Lake Travis, maybe Bevo Jones. With those teams coming up, that is something they definitely want to correct before this regular season is over. Because the kicking game, as you know, can completely turn around a game.
Well, the penalty, I'm not sure what it was. It might have been
offsetting,
negated.
Perhaps.
Or it might have been offsetting,
perhaps,
too.
Not unclear, though. Not really.
As it'll be a first and 10 from the 41-yard line for the Yellow Jackets with 2.5 minutes remaining in the first quarter. And a short pass there. A one-hop pass to number 12, Jesse Halomo.
An uncharacteristic pass for me. It was usually very, very accurate.
Yeah. Halomo there with a little bit of room there. Could have made that reception. But, of course, the one-hop pass not quite having enough steam behind it.
Jackets going back to the slot, which was very successful for them last drive. And I imagine it would be again this drive. And I say that, a big gain. Oh! The second shoestring tackle of the game.
And you know, it's ironic that you mentioned that because it's the exact same guy, number 8, for the Valley View Tigers. And you know, it's even more ironic. It was his brother in the previous play. Now, this time, it's Roger Garcia with the opportunity to score, but brought down with a shoestring tackle. And Valley View Tigers saving a touchdown there.
Yes, yeah, so the Jackets dominating the up front when they go to their slot formation. Play action. Has a man open. Wide open.
And that's going to be Alex Cisneros. And he's probably going to get in for 6, and he does.
Wow. Busted coverage there by the Valley View Tigers because he was wide open. A nice touchdown, accurate pass, but again, the guy was so wide open, I think I could have thrown that pass.
Well, you know, and once again, it's just another situation here where the pass didn't quite seem to have the zip on it as the receiver, Alex Cisneros, had to hesitate and wait for the pass. But nonetheless, the Valley View secondary was so beaten on the play that he was still able to wait for the catch and then prance into the end zone for, what is that, about a 45-yard touchdown pass?
More or less. It kind of looked like, I'm not really sure, I didn't really get a good look at the coverage pre-snap, but it did look like Valley View was in a 2-deep, and the kick is good, and that they sent 2 seams, which kind of caught the safety, put him in the man in the middle, and he just picked the wrong guy. With 1:58 left to go in the first quarter, it is the Ed Couch Elsa Yellow Jackets 14, and the Valley View Tigers 0.
I do want to thank those 25 people out there tuning in to today's ball game. You are listening to Ed Cal Chelsea Sports Radio. We'll take a quick pause for the cause and a word from our sponsor.
When it comes to our photography needs, EEJackets.com turns to JBR Digital Imaging. Servicing the Mid-Valley for several years now, JBR Digital is owned and operated by George E. Sines, EE grad of 76. Fulfill your photography needs by contacting JBR Digital at 956-499-6374 or by sending an email to jbrdigital@yahoo.com. JBR Digital is a proud sponsor of Ed Cal Chelsea Sports Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Ed Cal Chelsea Sports Radio. 2 minutes remaining here with a 14-0 score in favor of the Yellow Jackets. The ball was kicked off there, and apparently the Valley View Tigers having a little difficulty with the kickoff. Just barely able to recover the ball as I'm not sure who it was for the Jackets was heading down with a full head of steam there, almost taking the ball away there on the kickoff.
Right, and Valley View sticking with that pistol formation.
Do want to remind you, well, I'll say it right now. First and 10 from the 20-yard line.
Not much room there.
No, it's not. And it's going to lose a yard, close to 2 yards, actually. It'll bring up a second and 12.
Well, you may want to put some kind of lead blocker in the form of a fullback of some kind or something just to give the guys some extra beef up front because this single back look from so far has not been working in the running game at all.
No, it has not at all. I did want to mention that JBR Digital is hosting a Find the Photo contest. You can find more information about it at eejackets.com/JBR, or you can just go ahead and go to the main page of eejackets.com. There is a link on the main page, and participate in the Find the Photo contest. Win yourself a 16x20 poster. Option to the left. for the Valley View Tigers, and he's going to be brought out of bounds. A fairly decent gain there.
A flag in the holding zone. Typically holding zone, but we shall wait for the call.
Well, if at this point it looks like it may be close to a 3 or 4 yard gain,
which may be negated on this flag, although the Jackets may want to decline and leave him in a third and long. We'll see.
Yeah, looking at the way the ref is conferring with the Jacket defense, it definitely is going to be against the Tigers. And it's just a matter of whether it's going to be declined or not. And it looks like it's going to be accepted. I have to agree with you there with the way that the Tigers have not been successful with their offense. I would decline this and put it third and about eight.
Yeah, but I think either way it should hold them either way, looks like. Oh, a chop block. High-low? Yes, that is a 15-yard penalty. And in this case, I think it is clear you do take this penalty.
Oh, indeed.
15 yards is a big difference.
Because you figure that that's going to be affected. That'll affect your field position if you're able to get them to punt.
Right.
High-low, of course, a very dangerous.
Oh, yes.
Dangerous penalty. Dangerous block for someone to get, receive. Well, on the third down play, back to pass.
Fumble.
And finally, the Jackets capitalize on a Valley View mistake. It was number 10 who was apparently going to be sacked there by number 78, Louis Garcia. And in a futile effort to avoid the sack, he kind of just pitches the ball. It looked like that could have been a forward pass.
Yeah, but there is no review, as you know, in high school football. So, it stands as a fumble.
Or a shovel pass, right?
And this game is kind of starting to go as we expect it now.
Well, number 51. Start. 51, Luis Escobedo with a fumble recovery. And the Jackets now have a first and 10 from about the 10-yard line. As Nino keeps it rolling to the left, has a little bit of room to run. Close to the end zone, but we got a flag now on the Jackets.
In the holding zone, looks like. Kind of sloppy play a little bit on so far, more on the Valley side, but you know,
well,
it's been a little bit sluggish.
At this point, you can't take any team for granted. You know, I can't help but think back to, and of course, I was not there. I didn't even read the game article, just from what I read on the online at the forums, which, by the way, rgvsportsforum.com, one of the best forums out there. This is a similar situation in the sense that of the Weslaco High and Pace game. Weslaco, of course, with a 14-0 advantage. Now, it's similar right now, but of course, we still got a whole quarter to play, the second quarter. But 14 points is not a lead to feel comfortable with any team. Well, after the penalty, it takes him back 10 yards as Dino has a bunch of time to throw.
And again, kind of an unforced, it was a hard catch, but it was makeable. Again, it's not going to really bother you this week, but in the weeks coming ahead, those are plays you want to make.
Number 11, Ismael Morales, sliding into the end zone there, making an attempt for the grab, and it just wasn't placed in the proper, I mean...
It was catchable, but it would have been a very hard catch.
Given the way he slid...
It would have been a highlight reel catch if he would have made that one.
Well, you know, I think if he would have dove instead of slid, he probably would have had a better chance of catching that ball. But nonetheless, it brings up a second down from the 21-yard line. And the first down close over there by the one. So they got nearly 20 yards to travel for the first down with 30 seconds remaining here. And another handoff there for Alex Cisneros. One man to beat.
Another flag, though, in the holding zone. I caught the tail end of what I think the official called. It appears one player, the E-Jackets, kind of chopped and kind of held the legs a little bit. I didn't really see it fully. I kind of caught the tail end, but I think that's what the official may have called.
Judging by where the position of the flag is and the location of the play, it looks like it was a backside block. And you kind of have to kick yourself in the butt there because, albeit backside blocks are important on the offensive line, I mean, they're not critical to the effectiveness of the play. And I'll have to wonder whether that block was, or at least that holding was even necessary for the play to function.
Yeah, very aggravating for a coach. But you see that on some kind of punt return sometimes where a guy clips when the player's like 10 yards in front of him, the runner. It happens. Very aggravating for the coaches when that happens.
Well, back-to-back holding penalties throws the Jackets back 20 yards. It'll be a second and 21, I believe. No, more than 21, right?
Maybe 30.
31, excuse me. Second and 30. Nino having to step up in the pocket to make the to complete the pass. And he finds Artie Tanguma for a fairly decent gain.
Well, you know, you see Nino
close to about 14
making plays. You know, not getting stopped, but you see him taking hits, and wow, you know, you really don't like to see that at all.
Kind of out of focus there.
We apologize for the technical difficulties, but we are working with burglar bars right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Which kind of takes the camera kind of focuses on the burglar bars and kind of puts the distance away at a. And that is the end of the first quarter. It will end with the Edcock Elsa Ilotech at 14 and the Valley View Tigers 0.
Sorry, once again, a bit distracted here. a lot of... nothing, never mind.
All
a lot of just people coming into the booth. Once again, it is homecoming festivities here at Yellow Jacket Stadium for the Edcock Elsa Yellow Jackets. So naturally, there are a lot of traffic coming through the press box, people trying to get things organized.
Despite that huge game by the Nino to Tanguma connection, it is still third and about, I want to say, 15, 16?
Yeah, it was about second and 30. So he picked up close to about 14 yards on that particular play. Brings up a third and 16, as you mentioned right now. And they are about the 17-yard line. So they need to get down to the one for the first down. As the second quarter is set to start here at Majestic Yellow Jacket Stadium, the Black Hole. We got a double reverse!
Little trickeration there by the EE coaching staff. I believe we'll likely see the field goal unit, but I do not know.
The once again, the jet sweep there. Hand off to number 11, Smiley Morales, and then on the reverse, hands it off instead to 81, Alex Cisneros, who's having a big night tonight. Definitely probably close to 40, 50 yards rushing so far just through the first quarter.
And they will go for it on fourth down. It is a very manageable 6 yards, so we shall see.
Trips formation to the left. Quarterback Eric Nino receiving the snap, drops back to pass, has single coverage. Instead, looks for number 12, Jesse Halomo. 6 points for the Yellow Jackets. Touchdown.
Wow, you know, Nino again taking some shots there. Kind of walking a little, you know, casually to the sideline, but definitely an area of concern.
So with 11 minutes and 9 seconds remaining in the second quarter, the Jackets add their third touchdown, and we have a mess up there, and that play's not going to stand there.
Likely either a legal procedure or a illegal formation of some kind.
Yeah, well, the Jackets in a swing gate formation. Center snaps the ball to the kicker, or actually the holder.
But your players must be set, however.
Yeah, the holder over there, Tanguma, was spread wide to the left. Nobody noticed, the secondary didn't notice that, and they tried to get he caught the pass. It was good for two, but as the penalty, illegal motion is what the penalty is going to be. The 2-point conversion is negated. I see them going for, that's a 10-yard penalty.
Something other happened. I have no idea what happened, but.
Well, a fortunate situation here is now the extra point becomes a 35-yard field goal. Well, a 35-yard extra point. And Miguel Garcia with plenty of room, and it is good.
Wow, nice kick there.
35 yards out, the extra point stands. 21-0 is your score. With 11 minutes and 9 seconds remaining in the first quarter. Well, let's take this opportunity to take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio.
EEJackets.com, your number one sports authority for everything. Ed Calchelsa.
When
When it comes to our photography needs, EEJackets.com turns to JBR Digital Imaging. Servicing the Mid-Valley for several years now, JBR Digital is owned and operated by George E. Sines, EE grad of 76. Fulfill your photography needs by contacting JBR Digital at 956-499-6374 or by sending an email to jbrdigital@yahoo.com. JBR Digital is a proud sponsor of EdCal Chelsea Sports Radio.
JBR Digital, one of our many sponsors, actually is the only sponsor we have. But hey, that sounded pretty cool, one of our many sponsors. Well, the kickoff was a high kick. Jackets don't allow a return, but nonetheless, with good field position, the Valley View Tigers will start from the 32-yard line. First and 10, it's a draw, and hit hard by number 42, Tony Sanchez.
Yeah, boy, again, you know, that was Valley View out probably more than likely. It was a kind of lead blocker of some kind.
Well, you know, they were having a lot of success with a pass early on. Well, let me rephrase that. They were having some success with a pass early on, and now they've just kind of gone back to that run. And I'm sure, as you mentioned earlier, that's what Evans is Dave Evans, the coach for the Tigers, is more accustomed to. You would think, given the circumstances, go back to that pass. As we see now, a trips formation from the Tigers.
Yeah, you know, Valley View has a decent, at least from here, it looks like they have decent size. So they want to try a little bit more of that power, and they do. Again, this is more Evans' field of expertise. And a decent gain on second down, about maybe 7 yards, maybe 6.5. It'll be about third, a manageable third, and about 4, maybe, perhaps.
And, wow, you know, I don't think I've heard the crowd. I mean, looking into the stands, it's relatively packed here. I mean, I wouldn't say that every seat in the house is full, especially in this reserve section. But, you know, you haven't really heard much from the crowd. This hasn't been exactly the most exciting of games. As the Valley View running back is met at the line of scrimmage for another loss or possibly a no gain. No, he gets a very small gain, about a foot or two. And it'll bring up a fourth down and close to 4.
I would expect to see the punt team here, and we do. You know, Valley View kind of running a lot to the tackles, which is, in my opinion, is the strength of the EE defense there. I don't know. A questionable strategy, I guess, but it's easy to say from up here in the booth, but I would probably try more to the outside, perhaps, of the defense. I wouldn't run those two.
Well, you know, given the way the success that Westlake East had the week before, I'm sure maybe that's given Valley View a lot of confidence. As Valley View on this 4th and about 4 opts to punt, but we apparently have a timeout called by Coach Evans over on the Valley View side. And, you know, I wanted to mention, this is just one of those, is it a paradox? Is that what I'm thinking of? Where you know, the fans, you know, looking into the stands, half of them look bored out of their minds. But, you know, yet again, you know, if it's a close, exciting game, which, you know, which is what a lot of fans want, then they're going to be talking in the back of their minds, well, it shouldn't have been close. It should have been a blowout. So it's kind of a lose-lose situation here, because for the fans, they're bored right now with the Jackets up 21-0. They want an exciting game, but they don't want it too close.
Yeah. Well, if things continue the way they're going, and I think they likely are, we may see some of the fresh faces of tomorrow. Some future stars later on in this game as they come in and clean up the game, cleanup duty. Perhaps we'll see some of the future Jackets out there. Well, they already are Jackets, but the future starters, I should say.
Future varsity guys.
Starters.
Or future starters. Yeah, you're right. Future starters.
So we expect to see that later in this game. Of course, it's football, but it is going the way we thought it would.
And the ball is up and punted, and once again, Georgie Vargas coming close to the block. As Felix Garcia receives the punt, the wall set up beautifully. He's going to take that to the house. Number 8, unable to make a third shoestring tackle and save the touchdown this time, as Felix Garcia gets what was rightfully his.
Great wall set up there along the EE sideline.
And that ball was caught near the 30-yard line, so it's going to be close to a 70-yard punt return for Felix Garcia, and I want to say that's his first touchdown, first special teams touchdown of the year. As we see the swing gate attempt once again by the Jackets, it appears Valley View is in coverage, the correct coverage, as the Jacket O-line returns back to their normal positions for the PAT. Get a little score update here, courtesy of EE Powerhouse. Got a tie at Hidalgo with the Red Ants and the Pirates tied at 7 right now. That's an interesting score there.
Rising. Although Hidalgo, you know, it's kind of been kind of Jekyll and Hyde. Scoring 70 points one game, scoring 12 another. It's
well, I mean,
hard to gauge that.
I don't know
team.
How good the Red Ant defense is, but obviously the Red Ant offense is the one that's been keeping them in a lot of games. As Miguel Garcia lines up for the PAT to put this game at 28-0. Bad snap. 18. Isaac Prada has to roll, and he hits Roger Garcia on the two-point conversion. So instead of coming away with no points or 1 point, the Jackets convert Isaac Prado to Roger Garcia, 2 points, 29-0 is your score.
Well, that going back to that Douglas score, that is a very entertaining district. At 32-3, I believe.
It is unbelievable.
You have probably about 6-7 legitimate playoff contenders all fighting. You got the Lyford, which is passing like great, kind of like our Texas Tech of the Valley.
With All-Staters.
Right.
With All-Staters coming back. You got
Ravenville with tremendous speed and all kind of skill positions.
Alejo, who's leading the state, yeah, or right. One of the state leaders in receiving
all
yards.
All kinds of speed they got there, Ravenville.
Zapata, who of course shocked Rio Hondo.
Yes, yeah, a powerful week running before. Team, I understand.
Yeah, definitely. We can't forget about PI and Rio Hondo. Very powerful teams in their own right. The Red Ants, and of course La Feria.
Yeah, probably one of the most entertaining districts. You know, of the whole, in the whole valley, I would think. Most competitive, at least, I would say.
And the kick is deep this time, and it's going to be about 3 yards deep in the end zone. Valley View going to return, and he puts up
a decent return, maybe up to the 19-yard line.
A little short of the 20-yard line. So with 3-4 yards deep, he probably would have been better
just
off just
made himself some hits and just taking the knee there.
Yeah, well, you know. You got to admire something like that, because that's something that somebody would, you know, somebody that still has a will to play
does. Yeah, very good point. Yes, that tells me that they're not giving up. They're still going to try to do their best and get ready for the rest of the district game.
Yeah, I think if they were near that point where they've already given up, they would have just, or at least that particular player, he would have kneeled the ball
that's
and just taken it.
That's a good
20.
Sign and a good comment on the coaching staff of Valley View, keeping their players still playing hard, even though they're clearly overmatched in this game.
Well, you know, for Valley View just to score right now and look for the trick play. For Valley View to score right now, I think that'd be a big moral victory for them. Because I think at this point they're starting to realize that this game is out of their hands. But to put some points on, of course, last year the score was 54-7. So they did put 7 points on the board, and they were cheering like crazy after that. And certainly going into district with contenders like Roma and Lincoln Juarez, you know, those are potential wins for Valley View. They need that type of momentum.
Yeah, like I said, they're still trying hard. Evan seems to be going back to more of his running style. Again, I would like personally to see him go back to his I formation, because I think that's more his style. I think it's more expertise, but we shall see.
Well, with 7 minutes and 50 seconds remaining in the second quarter, 29-0 in favor of the Yellow Jackets. It's a 2nd and 11, and we have an option to the left hand side. And number 10 has a little bit of room.
They're close to breaking it there. And again, they're still trying. That's great to see young men with that kind of character still trying, even though the game is clearly out of hand.
Well, Smiley Morales there showing the speed, runs down the quarterback. If that quarterback gets past Smiley Morales, it's left to the free safety to try to make that tackle, and he's guaranteed maybe 20, 30 yards.
Yeah, indeed. It's going to be probably decision time after the half. You have to figure out, you know, when to pull out your starters, when to keep them in. You keep
well, you know,
reasons.
The Jackets don't have a shutout. They should have had a shutout against Cal Allen. I am almost positive that the Jackets would like to have a shutout just for well.
Wow,
number
nice.
51, Luis Escobedo there with a potential sack. And number 10 for the Tigers doing a heck of a job avoiding that sack at all costs as Luis Escobedo comes limping off the field. Apparently, I guess he must have landed wrong. But nonetheless, I think it is still going to be credited as a sack, right?
No, I believe he gained some yardage.
Did
so
he?
If you gain yardage, it automatically takes away the sack.
Okay. Right. Well, it was Tony Sanchez there who made the another vicious hit there on quarterback number 10 for the Tigers. And it's a fourth down and about 12. And we got another flag flying there. It's probably going to be an illegal substitution.
It appears to be so. There's no flag because the player was coming in. It is illegal when you break the huddle with too many players.
Okay.
In this case, nice job of the crew there, huddling up, getting the rules straight, and waving off the flag.
Nonetheless, still a fourth and 14, and Valley View lined up to go for it from their own 22-yard line. And they're not even in a shotgun to do a quick kick. They're going to go for this.
Oh, it appears they're trying to draw them off sides. I'm not sure what happened. I see no flags.
Oh, you know what? I'm such a bonehead. It's I thought it was a fourth and 12. It's a fourth and 2.
Well,
I'm looking
know,
over here at the wrong. That's why I thought it was a sack.
At 29-0, you don't got much to lose.
That was a brain fart on my behalf. I thought it was fourth and 12, but it was actually fourth and 2. But you know what? The Valley View Tigers trying to get the Jackets to jump off sides, pick up the 5 yards on a fourth down, and it actually bites them in the ass as they snap the ball.
Well, I don't think they were going to snap it unless the guy was off sides. The center saw a small jump, but a jump is not the same as being in the
It was more actually a flinch more than a jump. It was a flinch, and they fumbled the exchange because I don't think the quarterback was expecting it. And the Jackets take over at about the 26-yard line, a very, very costly mistake here. And this may sound a little arrogant on my behalf, but I would have preferred them to punt the ball.
Well, you know,
just for the simple reason that I'd like to see the players pad their stats.
Well, you know,
you know what I mean. Instead of driving the ball 70 yards as opposed to driving it 26.
From the coaching standpoint, I can understand Evans from a psychological way. He wants to show his team that he's still trying to win, even though he knows the game's out of hand. But he wants to. His kids still believe. They got winnable games later on this year. So he doesn't want to lose his team and just give up. And great tackle, if you say that. A great one-on-one. People call it with a horse collar. Unfortunately, that is only in college and professional football.
The horse collar? No, it is a new rule.
Oh, it is in high school?
Yeah,
football?
One of the things that you have to understand is that the UIL, the state of Texas, follows the same rules as the NCAA. So
okay.
Because of that, that's a new rule that was implemented, the horse collar in the NCAA. It applies to high school football in the state of Texas. Now, there is an exception to that rule. Just like there's a lineman box for the horse collar, for the clipping. Well, there's a box, obviously bigger, for the horse collar. It can happen within the range of the O-lines, but once you get outside of the tackles, that's where the horse collar rule comes into effect.
All right.
As Roger Garcia picks up a small gain, it'll bring up a third and a close to six here from about the 25-yard line. Nino drops back to pass. Has the receiver open and knocked out of the hands of number 81, Alex Cisneros. And, man, we've been saying Alex Cisneros all night tonight.
Boy, you know, dangerous pass. Throughout the year, I kind of see Nino kind of take those somewhat risky passes, threading the needle in between defenders. You kind of don't want to see that too much because when you face the better, quicker teams, that may come and bite you in the form of interceptions.
Well, you know, looking at Nino's statistics, he obviously has not thrown a lot of interceptions. I don't remember off the top of my head, but he probably has about two or three interceptions, and most of them coming from, like you said, quicker teams. The
right.
Coming from Harlingen and Cal Allen. As the Jackets right. line up for a field goal at about the 26-yard line, and it's from the bit of 40-yard field goal. It's up, and it looks like it's going to be good. It is good.
Wow.
With a 40-yard field goal, Miguel Garcia celebrated a little bit there.
That would have been 50.
Yeah, that had a lot of room. Getting a little bit of scores here from some of the people around the area. Thanks to EE Powerhouse, once again, the score master, telling us Mack High up 14-3 over Sherryland. That's a big game there. La Via 21-6 over Kingsville at half.
That can't be Kingsville. That's probably something.
No, it's the Kingsville Academy.
Okay.
The 1A school. Raymondville Bearcats in the first quarter down 10-13 over La Feria, to La Feria. At a tie 7-7, Rio Hondo and PI at the start of the second. Wonder what the Los Fresnos score is.
It appears. It seems like 49-0.
It can't be 49-0.
That's how I
Wow. Well, I mean, they must be at halftime or something. But another score, another update there, EE Powerhouse. Once again, thank you. Hidalgo and Progreso. Hidalgo up 20-10 over Progreso.
Of course, a big game concerning 32-4A fans. Tomorrow in Mission, I believe, it will be Mercedes visiting the Mission Veterans Patriots in a key playoff positioning game next week. I mean, tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Mercedes, a week before playing the Jackets in the annual rivalry.
And you have to wonder how many Yellow Jacket fans will be out there in attendance to that game. You know, maybe they didn't get their football fill tonight. I mean, granted, it's a 32-0 game for the Jackets. I'm sure a lot of these fans out here would like to get a view of Mercedes.
Well, I'm more than likely be watching Wisconsin and Ohio State, but
if you
want to go out there.
Well, 4 minutes and 20 seconds remaining in the second quarter, 32-0 as Miguel Garcia kicks a nice little kick close to about the 5-yard line. The Jackets push back 5 yards after a penalty. And the Valley View running back with a little bit of room to run gets to about the 33-yard line.
Wow, again, it's great to still see them trying and really playing and trying hard, though. That's good to see on a team trying to build up their program.
Yeah, Los Fresnos 49-0. Wow.
You know, I noticed, I believe I saw a score there. I believe La Feria was up on Raymondville. I think I saw there. Again, just another case of that crazy district over there in the 3A. Literally, and anything can happen kind of district. And Valley View sticking with that pistol has not been very effective so far, but they are sticking with it, and we shall see if they can get anything going before the half.
And going back to the passing, complete, and Joseph Garcia, they're going to make a decent tackle, maybe a 1-yard gain. And, you know, that's a great job there by Joseph Garcia. It was a pretty huge cushion, close to about 8-9 yards on cushion there, and not a very good job by Valley View. A lot of delay there. The quarterback, I think, took too many steps to get that ball out there on that quick hitch.
Also, no
and
blocker.
And Garcia just steps up there.
Also, no blocker there on the...
Well, I think it was an audibleized play because, you know, the fact that there was that huge cushion by Joseph Garcia. But nonetheless, it is a close to maybe a 1-2 yard gain, 2nd and 8 for the Tigers. Okay. We have that option to the left. Hit hard. Oh, man. Everyone's being punished there. The quarterback and the running back both get knocked on their backs.
You know, curious decision running this up to the short side of the field. Very curious. You don't want to give away, always going to the wide side of the field, but you don't want to run to the short
side.
I think
at this point, you know, Evans trying to do exactly the opposite of what would be expected. You know, the obvious would be to run to the wide side of the field. Run to the short side. Maybe that's not what the Jacket defense is expecting. But it'll be a 3rd and 9 as they lose half a yard on that particular play. Another quick pass.
Nice pass, but better coverage.
Man. That guy, that was dangerously close coverage there as he was all over him. Appears to be, was it number 27?
Yeah, a flag could have been thrown there if
it was close, but nonetheless, it's going to be incomplete, and it'll bring up a 4th and about 9. And it appears the Valley View has brought in their punting unit, and we need some more excitement here, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the defense, their defense did a decent job of actually holding the Jackets to a field goal after that 4th down stop. So, again, the kids, they're not quitting yet, which is very good to see. Shows good character and speaks to all the coaching staff. And
there's the punt return received at about the 40. Has a little bit of room to run, but he's going to be brought down about after a 20-25 yard return on the punt.
Again, you kind of want, you'd like to see him just put his foot in the ground and go north south, because again, if we go to the quicker teams, that kind of stuff's not going to work very well.
Got another score here. San Benito 14, Brownsville Lopez 0. And, you know, there's just been a lot of, you know, I have to comment on those Brownsville schools, a lot of surprises coming out of Brownsville. I think back to that article that came out on the RGV Sports Magazine about Brownsville just being terrible, and they've taken it like a personal challenge. As we have a trap play by number 32, hurdling a player, still on his feet.
Boy, it seems like Noshon Moreno out of Georgia has started some kind of craze. Everybody hurdling now. Seems like every game you see is like a hurdle. So,
and you know, that's that same trap play that the Jackets have had a lot of success. This time running the ball was number 32, Roger Garcia. And from the 42-yard line, they get down to the 10. So technically that's a 32-yard gain there for the Roger Garcia. And I have to wonder why this time Roger got the ball instead of Alex Cisneros, who's been pretty much getting all the touches tonight. As we have a first and goal from the 10-yard line, and we have that tight formation again for the Jackets. Handoff appears to be, I have no idea who that is, number 22 for the Jackets.
Valley View defense still stepping up, still trying.
Number 22, Javier Bettis, Xavier Bettis.
And interesting to note that we're already seeing some of those new faces already.
Well, I don't know. If you saw Roger coming off the field, he kind of had a slight limp to his step. He might have on that hurdle. He might have landed a little wrong there.
You know, that hurt Brian Westbrook out of the Eagles. A hurdle similar to that injured him, and he still has not. He has yet to return to action for the Eagles. So interesting. This hurdle phenomenon is having some casualties. It appears.
Well, not exactly the most smartest of moves, in my opinion, to do.
Well, he's lucky that football, like, I didn't stand up midway through that jump. That would have been very painful.
If football was meant to have people hurdling, they'd actually put physical hurdles out there. Although, you know what? That would change the game up a lot. As Neal drops back to pass, rolls to the right, has a lot of room to run. He's going to take it in himself. Touchdown. Neal dropped back to pass, didn't really find much. As the right side of the defense collapsed in, and he just bounced it outside and took it in 12 yards for the touchdown. And Nino, of course, I'm not keeping track, but I want to say that's his second touchdown of the ball game. I don't know either.
No, I don't know.
And that brings our score now 38-0. As the swinging gate is brought back into the normal formation for the PAT.
Well, if there's any solace for Valley View, it's they're doing better than Rivera against Los Fresnos.
And the PAT is up, and it is good. 39-0 is your score here in Ed Calchosa, land of La Máquina, Black Hole, the Black Hole, Yellow Jacket Stadium. Looking at the game clock, 58 seconds remaining here in the half. And, you know, as Valley View is set to receive the ball, you have to wonder if they're just gonna run the 58 seconds off or if they're going to try to score.
I imagine we'll see a couple of handoffs maybe. I don't think we'll see any passes or any attempts to score, but maybe just run a solid running play, run the clock out.
And once again, you know, I have to, you know, inquire as to why Valley View at this point is not using any trickery, you know, reverses or halfback passes or something. Now, granted, I'm sure the Yellow Jackets have prepared all week long for those particular plays, but at least you want to see the attempts there if you're the Valley View Tigers. As the kick is going to go out of bounds, the flag comes up as it goes out of bounds just barely at the 2-yard line. It was a squib kick by Miguel Garcia trying to prevent a long return there by the Valley View Tigers, but instead trying to figure out here the spot. I think they're going to start at the 35-yard line.
Well, now with that good field position, they may maybe try something. But the official on the 30, I don't believe that's the correct spot. But
well, yeah, it is at the 30-yard line. I don't know the exact rule.
I think high school may be the 40, actually.
Is it the 40? Wow, that would be an unbelievable spot if they were to take it from there. No, it can't be the 40. Because
it's at least a 35, I know that.
I thought it was the 35, but nonetheless, they start at the 30, first and 10 for the Valley View Tigers. And we see that I formation as they get a handoff up the middle.
So, you know, fortunately, it won't make much of a difference in this game, but you'd hate to see a decision like that in some important game cost somebody.
Well, the clock continues to run, 40 seconds and counting here at the second quarter. This game's set to go into halftime. And, of course, our halftime festivities being the homecoming for the Yellow Jackets. We'll see if you can get some video coverage of that. Second and about 8. Same handoff play up the middle. And I'm sure, given the play calling, they're content with going into the lockers. Down 39-0 as 12 seconds remain and counting here in the second quarter.
And that will conclude the first half of action with the Ed College Yellow Jackets 39 and the Valley View Tigers 0.
Wow, I wish I had more to say about this game.
Well, pretty much as expected. No surprises here. We will try to get halftime action, as we alluded to earlier. Homecoming action, excuse me. So, another interesting score out of the Rio Hondo Port Isabel game is Rio Hondo up 21-7 on the Port Isabel, which is basically at halftime.
Well, we do like we would like to welcome you guys. If you have any questions for us as far as what the game is like today, by all means, please send those out. If we do, you can go ahead and send them through the chat room, or you could always send us an email. We are accepting emails here at radio@eejackets.com. Once again, that's radio@eejackets.com. We do welcome any sort of questions that you guys might have.
Right. Both of us here would like to hear your opinion on, obviously, this game is pretty much, for all intents and purposes, over. Who do you think will put up, who has the biggest chance to knock off the Jaguars before the playoffs start? So we really want to hear your opinion. If you want to say why, you can. You don't have to. But, again, that's our email poll of the night, I guess you could say, is who do you think has the best chance to beat the Jaguars this year?
And just to quickly give some background information to possibly answering that question, the Jaguars, of course, still have the Mercedes Tigers next week.
In Mercedes,
and that, of course, is a big game with Alex Trevino there at the running back position and Albert Chavez at the quarterback position. They still have both Mission Schools, Mission High and Mission Veterans. You can never count, despite what their record may be, you can never count them out.
Mission Veterans literally came within seconds of beating the Jackets last season.
Indeed, indeed.
Probably the most interesting game, probably my pick, personal pick, for who would be the biggest chance, probably the Lincoln Juarez Huskies there in La Jolla. True, they don't have very good defense, have not shown, but they can put up points pretty fast, as they've shown.
And, of course, the final game of being the Roma Gladiators. Never know what to expect from those guys.
Another interesting note is that most of the difficult games are on the road. So that is something to look out for as well. So we want to hear your opinion, our kind of poll question, so to say. Who do you think would be the most difficult game for the Jackets that remains on the schedule? Again, email us that at eejackets. Email that to radio@eejackets.com. We look forward to your emails, folks.
And, of course, you can always give us the information on the chat room, and we are logged in as eejackets.com. You can always relay that information to us via the chat room. Well, we'll take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio.
EEJackets.com, your number one sports authority for everything. Ed Calchelsa.
When it comes to our photography needs, EEJackets.com turns to JBR Digital Imaging. Servicing the Mid-Valley for several years now, JBR Digital is owned and operated by George E. Sines, EE grad of 76. Fulfill your photography needs by contacting JBR Digital at 956-499-6374 or by sending an email to jbrdigital@yahoo.com. JBR Digital is a proud sponsor of Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
Ed Calchosa Sports Radio, brought to you by CV the Hispanic Titanic, alongside with the host, with the most, Perry Ellis, bringing you games live from the Hive.
Now pitching, Dave Black.
Dave's about to catch his opponent off guard, not with his fastball, but a tomato.
Ooh.
Using tomatoes as baseballs won't work. But if you want to be a better player, the nutrients in a healthy, vegetable-filled diet could give you energy to hit that grand slam. So eating tomatoes is like playing hardball against the competition. Run, throw, think, eat better. Can your food do that? Find out at smallstep.gov.
That's smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.